Emotions. Without emotion, you'll have no motion, somebody said. But when you got emotion, you'll have motion, promotion, locomotion, devotion, and maybe even explosion. Emotions are really important, and Christian and spiritual people can have emotion. In fact, some people are all down with emotion in church, down with emotion in worship, and they get all emotional about us not having emotion. But the fact of it is that emotions were never designed by God to be a guidance system. Rather, emotions are to provide energy to help us carry out the directions that come from a very accurate guidance system that we have for our lives, but they are not the guidance system. A person who is slave to his or her feelings and emotions is exactly that, a slave. When emotions control and dominate us, we are in bondage. And what is worse, that this bondage is constant and perpetual. We live our lives in the grip of emotions. Feelings overcome us, compelling us in a direction that may or may not be correct. And what we want to learn today is how to get emotions and feelings out of the control position and under control. Emotions must never be allowed to overpower us. They must be subservient to us, not us to them. So get your notebook paper ready, and we're going to learn where emotions come from, three principles that if you put these three principles into effect, you will have control of your feelings all the time. So let's get started and learn the first thing. Here we go. Look at the diagram with me. Feelings come from thinking thoughts. Just sort of like a trailer being, and you're about to see my great artwork. Oops, I better, this is not my car. Looks more like yours than mine. And it's pulling, believe it or not, the trailer in that direction. But in the same way in which a trailer follows a car, so look at this. These are like our thoughts over here. And feelings always follow our thoughts. They always come from thinking thoughts. And then we have to learn that if feelings come from thinking thoughts, we need to learn where our thoughts come from. So I had this other picture drawn of you, and actually, I'm not sure who this looks like. It may not look like you if it's not flattering, but let's let this represent you. Feelings come from thinking thoughts, and thoughts come from different sources. For example, they come from what we see, what we smell. That's why somebody said chemical warfare is not used. Watch out for those cosmetics and those perfumes. They can create whole ideas. Thoughts come from smell. Just look at the bottles when you buy cosmetics and see what it says on them, on the perfume bottles. Because thoughts come from the odors and smell. And thoughts come from what we taste. Thoughts come from what we feel. They come from what we hear. In fact, thoughts come from memory. One of the worst things about sin is the memory of it. Well, thoughts can come from music. Many a man, an army, has been marshaled into battle by marching music. Music has soothed many a troubled soul, and by the way, seduced otherwise people that would be innocent. The power of music. It creates thinking and thoughts and feelings. And so do movies. Be very careful what you watch because thoughts produce feelings. Movies are one of the sources of thoughts. And advertisement is another source. And, you know, you can create your own thoughts. You can be the source of thought. And then others can be, and that's why you want to be careful about friendship. Because friendship is giving the position of friendship to somebody who has the ability to give you ideas and thoughts, which in turn will produce feelings. So you got to be careful about that source. And then Satan can give you thoughts. Well, here's some really good news. God can give you thoughts. So we're going to see the effect of those kind of thoughts on your emotions in a few moments. Another source of thoughts is imaginations. Even in your nighttime, when you dream, can be a source of thought. And then another source of thoughts is our own nature. That is our developed manner of life. We develop a habit of, and that in turn produces a whole thought process. And then lastly, your heart has thoughts and can bring thoughts to your mind. That's why the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So feelings come from thinking thoughts. Now, we know where thoughts come from. Let's see if we can understand the dynamics of this whole picture. I want you to look at this diagram with me. It begins with thinking on a thought. And if you think on a thought, look at what happens. It will produce a feeling every single time, because feelings come from thinking thoughts. Now watch this. Feelings in turn lead to attitudes and or actions. And then attitudes and actions in turn lead to more consequences. But watch for a moment. Let's suppose that the action over here that somebody wants is to get you to buy their product. That's the action. They want to get you to feel like you need their product. And so they got to create feelings. And so what do? Advertisers are designed to get into our thinking enough times, repetitiously, etc., to get us to feel the need, so then we reach into our pocket, put our money on the counter, and exchange it, indeed, for a product. This diagram is such a critically important diagram because it contains an outline of all the dynamics from thoughts that produce feelings to produce attitudes and actions. Now watch with me one step farther. Because attitudes and actions produce either a sense of rightness or they produce a sense of guilt depending on the nature of the thought with which you began. Now watch this. Because guilt will lead to depression. Let's look at the diagram again and see if we can illustrate it. Let's suppose that you get a lust thought. A lust thought, if you think on it, is going to produce a lust feeling. And a lust feeling is going to lead to a lust attitude and perhaps an action. And then this in turn is going to produce a sense of guilt and depression every single time. Now, we could change this diagram a whole lot of times. For example, let's suppose you got a bitter thought over here. If you think on a bitter thought, you will soon get a bitter feeling. And bitter feelings will lead to a bitter attitude and a bitter action. And back to the guilt and down to depression. And so it goes on. This is true of greed. Now watch the diagram with me for a moment longer, because it doesn't end here. Watch this now. Because you see, wrong thoughts lead to wrong feelings, which lead to wrong attitudes, which produce guilt and depression. But watch this. Because there's a rule, there's a law called the harvest, sowing and reaping. You always reap what you sow, and you always reap more than you sow. You put a kernel of corn in the ground, several cobs came up. Now watch this. Because this guilt and this depression starts to feed back, and it comes back around here and feeds your thought system again. And so you go through this system, and it comes out here and feeds back around here again and around. And it goes around and around and around and around. And this is how we develop what's known as a habit. This habit is what is referred to in Romans chapter 7 as the old man or the old manner of life. It's the old manner, the old habit of life. And now when we want to quit the habit, we can't. Because a way of thinking and feeling and acting has been established. And that's why we need a Savior. That is why we need a Savior. Because what I don't want to do, I do. And what I want to do, I don't do. And this is the Bible description from Romans chapter 7 of knowing I'm wrong and I've got this habit, whether it's a bitterness or immorality or whatever it is, and I can't shake it because it's a habit. Now, Jesus comes to save us from this predicament. He comes to set us free from this enslavement to feelings and this enslavement to bondages. But as you're going to see in a moment, we have to follow certain biblical principles to stay free. Let me show you some good news. Let's go back to the diagram again. Now, let me show you some good news. In the same way in which sin increases unto more sin, I want you to know that if you think good thoughts here, they will produce good feelings here and good attitudes and actions, and they produce a sense of rightness. And guess what? Rightness always increases unto more righteousness, a sense of elation. And you, look at this, this will also feed back. And you can develop what's called a new manner, a new habit, a new way of living. Now, let's watch this one more time. For example, if you think a loving thought over here, you will reap a loving feeling, and you will have a loving attitude and action, and this will feed back and around, and you become a loving person. If you feed peaceable thoughts, you will reap peaceable feelings, peaceable attitudes and actions, which will lead to a sense of rightness again, a peace, and that elation that comes from peace and joy. Same is true of honor. Now, let's look at this principle in Scripture, or the three principles in Scripture, rather. So, if you learn these next three principles in these next few moments, you will never have feelings out of control ever. And you will always be up, not down, elated and not depressed, not discouraged, but encouraged if you will learn these three principles. We're going now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, to see the principles. Let's look at them. Here's how it starts. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Well, let's pause there just for a moment. Never fight lust. You should never fight if God says flee, and never flee if God says fight. You see, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Precision is so extremely important. Here's why. If you fight an immoral thought, and you fight it, and you fight it, and you fight it, the very fact that you're fighting it, guess what happens? Look at the diagram. By the very fact that you're fighting it, you are thinking about it, and you get the consequences and the feelings. But instead, though we walk in the flesh, we are not to war after the flesh. That's why the Scripture says, flee youthful lust. Flee fornication. Don't fight it. Flee it. Job learned this secret in chapter 31, and he said, why then should I look on handmaidens to lust after them? And he made a covenant with his eyes not to look. Never have to fight. Okay, so we're not to fight in the flesh, even though we walk in the flesh. We are to flee certain things. Now watch this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I want you to get some emotion right here. I want you to get some excitement. Look at this. The weapons that you're about to learn about, look at this. They are mighty, look at this, through God, and they will pull down strongholds. Emotional bondages are about to end if you'll get these three weapons and put them into practice in your life. You will never be out of control with emotions ever again. Look at the next verse, principle number one. Here we go. Number one, casting down imaginations. This is the first principle. Look at the diagram once again with me. We have to learn to cast down imaginations. And let me go on and let me show you principle number two, because it's very closely related. Let's go back to the Scripture. casting down imaginations, and look at this, and casting down not just imaginations, but every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now watch the diagram. We are not only to cast down imaginations here, but we are to cast down, and this is a key word, this word every, cast down every high thing that is contrary to the knowledge of God. Let's look at the scripture again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, this is where you find the knowledge of God. And these first two principles out of the three are very simple. If you get an imagination that's contrary to the knowledge of God, or any, in fact, not just any, but every, don't pick and choose among bad thoughts. Get rid of all the bad thoughts. Cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And if you practice these two principles, look here now. If you look at the diagram, if you practice these two principles, there will be major battles that you will never have to fight. You'll never have to fight over here at the guilt level. Some people fight their battles here at the attitude action level. They got the feeling to do evil, but they fight not going to do the action, but they got the feeling. God doesn't want you even to have to fight here at the feeling level. He wants you not even to have to fight it in your mind. He wants you to get the victory way back here and cast down every imagination and every high thing that's contrary to what you know to be of God in Scripture. And if you do this, then you will never have to fight battles, wasting energy, mental, emotional. I have to tell you that we're on the threshold of discovering, as you view this and learn these thoughts right now, these are precious moments, that you are learning how to have mental health. This is a key to mental health, is to have right thinking. Well, let's look at the third principle now. Here it is in Scripture. Cast down imaginations and every high thing, that's number two, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now here's principle number three. Bring into captivity every thought that has to do with obeying Christ. Don't take your eyes off the screen for a moment. Bring into captivity every what? Every single thought is to be held enslaved in your mind, captive. Don't let the good thoughts that come from the Lord Jesus Christ escape you. Instead, back to the diagram now. Look at this. This is the most important thing you can learn. Cast down, look at this, imaginations, cast down every high thing, and look at this, and bring every thought into your mind and hold it into your mind. That is every thought that has to do with obeying Jesus Christ. This is the principle of renewing your mind from Romans chapter 12 that you probably know so well, which says that present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God by the renewing of your mind. But transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, Jesus will get your heart right, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But renewing your mind will keep you right. You cannot have a right heart and a wrong mind. Satan speaks to the mind to get to the heart, but God speaks to the heart to get to the mind. This is the greatest cause of defeat to Christians. Because they think that now that they're Christians, it doesn't matter what they think about. And unfortunately, I know of Christians who sit by hours in front of television and watch and are entertained by immoral scenes, and violent actions, and all kinds of thoughts come in here. And then they wonder, why? I'm a Christian. How come I got these feelings? How come I'm fighting these battles in my attitudes and actions? And the reason is not complicated. We are simply, look at the diagram with me. We are simply reaping feelings that we sowed over here in our mind. We are simply reaping attitudes and actions over here from the thoughts that we sowed. And so, God wants to give us a method. He wants us to see exactly how you can do these three principles. Watch me now. I'll get these three straight. Cast down imaginations and everything that's contrary to the knowledge of God, and bring into your mind captive those thoughts that have to do with obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. How shall we do that? That's the question. So, He's given us a way. I want you to look at this scripture with me. It is so good. Watch this. Finally, my brother, look at this. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Watch the scripture now. Think on these things. Look at this. These things. Those are the only things you should have in your mind. Watch the diagram with me now. What we're talking about doing here is actually placing a grid. It's like a computer program. And when something comes in contrary to the computer program, it goes, does not compute. When a thought comes here and meets this grid, if you please, this filter, if it passed the test of the filter, then it comes through the filter and comes into the mind. But if it doesn't pass the filter criteria, then it gets rejected and cast down. You see, the battle is won here at this level. So what we're talking about is just as literal as you would do it on a computer. We're talking about adopting and adapting a filter system that every thought that comes to us, whether it comes from what we see, smell, taste, feel, and hear, or memory, or God, or Satan, or that every thought that comes, no matter where it comes from, must meet this filter system and be sorted out first. Let's go back and learn about the filter system. Look at it. Because a thought must not just meet one of these criteria, it must meet them all. Let's look at this. Whatsoever things are, first of all, true. If it isn't true, you don't want to bring it into your mind. Not only does it have to be true, it has to be honest. You know, iniquity can take a lot of true things and manipulate it to get bad results. But a thought must not just be true. It must be true, but there's a lot of true things that should not be thought about. There's a lot of gore. There's a lot of... In fact, the scripture describes that some things that shouldn't even be, that are done in secret, should not even be spoken of. Should not even be thought. They're true. But it's not enough that they're true. They must be true and honest. And look at this. They must be just. A thought must be true and honest and just. For example, it might be true that somebody did thus and so, did something evil. But the question is it just for you to think about? Is it just for you to tell somebody else without talking to them first? I don't think so. A thought must be true. It must be honest. It must be just. Look at this. It must be pure. It must be pure. And look at this. It must be lovely. It must be of good report. It must have some virtue in it. It must have some praiseworthiness in it. And the scripture says, think on these things. Now, go back to me for a moment with a diagram and look again really closely. Imagine what you will be like if you install Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, right here. This filter, this grid. Do you know, I took off the diagram, there's no guilt here. Because if all that gets into your mind after comes through this filter, you see, all the bad stuff got rejected. And only that which was pure, true, just, holy, of good report, praiseworthy, and so on, gets through. If you only think on lovely things, do you know what kind of feelings you will have? You know what kind of attitudes and actions this will lead to? And do you know what kind of elation that you will experience in your life if you only put in place in your thinking a filter system, an adjustment that every thought must meet a criteria or it's not worthy of your mind? You see, attitudes and actions are out of control because feelings are out of control. And feelings are out of control because thoughts are out of control. And thoughts are out of control because we haven't established a biblical basis for thought selection. But if you'll practice these principles we've learned in these few moments, attitudes and actions will be in control because feelings are in control. And feelings will be in control because thoughts are in control. And thoughts will be in control because you have established the biblical criteria for thought selection. And the truth will set you free. You will get the truth and nothing but the truth. You'll not be a slave to your emotions, but your emotions will place themselves properly as your servant, giving you the dynamic to be everything you should be.